I'm wearing this shitty mask for you, by the way.
Because you lost the stupid bet, dummy.
No, you fucking made me lose, you dick.
What mask is that? Is that a Dr. Dr. Wagner?
Super Kolo.
No hat?
No hat. Hat was extra.
Yeah, extra dollar.
Extra these nuts. All right, come on, let's get this shit rolling.
Sorry, I'm fucking with my cameras here. All right, we are back with another exciting episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, the fallout of AEW Double or Nothing. Why is Tony wearing a mask?
Fuck yourself.
Stay tuned to find out. There's so much to talk about. The highs and the lows of the last week of professional wrestling. All next on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com and become a Patreon at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Brian Idol, and I have a giant life-size Liberace painting on the wall of my living room, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Whoa!
How dare you?
God damn!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Shining Wizards.
I hate each and every one of you that are tuning in right now to fucking see this embarrassment. It's at the bottom of the screen. Welcome, everyone, to another fucking action-packed action version of the Shining Wizards, live on the hot mic, live on Rant DM Radio, and coming to you wherever you download your podcasts. It's Wrestling Talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony the fucking Mexican.
Wow, really, dude?
Yeah, really? Do you see what I'm wearing? I can't even see my screen.
Yeah, that was the idea of the bet. Matt.
Kevin.
What's going on, dinguses?
Tony, does that have... Are you wearing sunglasses in addition to that, or are those just screens over the eyes?
No, that's screens over the eyes, Kevin. And I can't fucking see shit without my glasses, and the screens aren't helping.
Well, Super Kolo wears glasses when he... when he wrestles, why aren't you?
Who are you to doubt Super Kolo's vision?
Well, he wore sunglasses.
I could do this.
There you go.
This isn't really helping my fucking cause. The good. He had ear holes, and I'm just I just fucking look like a complete anus right now. So how are you guys doing?
Right. I take it all back. This was a phenomenal idea.
Yeah, this is great. Matt doesn't have to wear makeup, and I get to look like a fucking chucho. Oh, boy.
We're good. Why don't you explain exactly why you are wearing that?
All right. Long story very short, the people booking AEW are a bunch of fucking dick snots.
That's not the story. That's not the story.
Story is...
You lost the bet.
All right. Can I tell the story in my own words? Can I at least explain my fucking shame and disgust and fucking nausea and all this?
I just want to make sure that you're telling the story truthfully.
I'm telling it truthfully. Okay. You see, fucking AEW introduced a new championship, and they thought it'd be a fucking wonderful idea to put it on the CEO of the company, Mr. fucking Cody Rhodes. And so because I thought that Lance Archer should have fucking destroyed him, rightfully so, and claimed the championship for himself and sent Cody packing. No, they don't do that. Well, Matt, being a fucking tough guy, goes, hey, how about you wear a lucha mask if fucking Lance Archer loses? I said, all right, how about you wear makeup when Cody fucking loses? He goes, okay, I'll do that, it's fine. And then I fucking lost, because Matt is fucking on Tony Khan's jock, and he probably fucking called him on Saturday and said, oh, is the belt ready? He's like, no, sir. Fuck, give him the shitty belt, let Mike Tyson come out there, and let fucking old Red Braids fucking lose a match. Thanks, dude. this is what you're fucking stuck with. You got Cody Rhodes with a fucking dollar store belt and me wearing a fucking Super Colo mask without the hat, so my fucking baldness is shining through. But I can't see dick without these glasses, so I even look more like a dick. How are you? Did I get that right?
Yes, for the most part. I do. I'm a little annoyed that you didn't pick one with the rest of the top to it, because I was hoping you would.
Plenty. I could switch off, but those are gonna fucking just suffocate me, and I'll be really even more miserable.
That was the idea.
Yeah, I was like, because there are a lot of lucha masks that have like your mouth is completely like bare. Like a character from Wienerville.
I feel like a wiener, Kevin. If that makes you guys feel any better, I do feel like a wiener.
You definitely weren't a wiener this weekend, I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, where's the fucking nice. Bell? Where do you have the bell? The bell's all the way over there.
I do like that you picked a lucha mask with, so you could put your earbuds in.
Well, that wasn't really by design. That just happened to be a wonderful perk of this mask.
And
yeah, what was the thought process with deciding which mask to wear?
Oh, it's the only one that fits. Because I was able to cut the back open so I could lace it up completely, unlike the other ones where like it pulls the top tightly. So like my head is more like.
Was this in one of those original lucha crates that we used to get?
No,
or where did you get this?
Bought these probably from Figures Inc. or what is known now as Wrestling Superstore, I guess, because they had a run for lucha masks in a while. For a while back in the late 90s when there were tons of luchadors in WCW, so hence the Super Colo mask. Oh, don't worry, I could switch off if you want. I could show you more misery later. If you want, I could do a rotisserie of masks.
Oh, a rotisserie.
I'm sorry, a what?
Rotisserie.
Can you explain to the viewers and the listeners, if you're not watching us on the hot mic, the cavalcade of superstars you have as your background?
Oh, there's La Parca over there. That's Psycho Clown. That's Blue Demon. And I don't know, sexy yellow chick, sexy Latina chica. How do you say yellow? Yellow, eh?
Amarillo.
Oh, and fucking is that Max behind my shoulder?
Yeah, you're the one that set this up. Why do you not know who these characters are?
Because I'm blind and I can't fucking see.
Masquerita Sagrada, right?
Maybe.
Let me ask you a question.
What?
Over by the Psycho Clown over there, it looks like we have some fireworks and then what looks like could be either a Puerto Rican or an American flag. So I'm very confused with what's going on with this background right now.
Oh, it's probably a Puerto Rican flag. I would doubt it. I wouldn't doubt that. It's kind of hard to tell. I could see the blue. I just don't know if it's like a full like field or if it's like the triangle point. I don't know. You're asking me way too many complicated questions. I thought we had a lot to talk about tonight.
We do. I just want you to work through this situation with the mask on. I think it's hysterical.
Oh, yeah. It's fine. I'm here. You know, it is what it is. So here, so you can see my beautiful face.
You know what, Tony? I will join in on your misery, okay?
Well, you putting makeup on?
No. Very, very excited for Double or Nothing Saturday night. Pumped up all day. I'm in the Discord. I'm on the Twitter. I fucking leave work early. I'm super excited. I get home. The Fire Stick. Fire Stick doesn't want to work. The Bleacher Report Live app doesn't want to work. I missed the whole pre-show.
Well,
I missed the whole match. I was fucking miserable. So miserable. Oh, I was going to throw the Fire Stick in the street. God bless my wife for putting up with my nonsense, because this anger that I had led into Saturday night, where you'll get a kick out of this. I went to bed right after Double or Nothing. I had to go to sleep. I had to be up at like 5:30. I had a nightmare that I was being attacked by snakes.
Nice. Ooh. Damien and Lucifer and Revelations and...
They didn't have name tags. I was being attacked by snakes. And in this nightmare, I also yelled at my wife. When I woke up in the morning...
Oh, no. You thought you yelled
at her? Please tell me.
And my wife wasn't in bed next to me.
Oh, no!
Then I realized that that was not part of my nightmare.
Oh, my God.
So, I had to explain to my, and I found out, I guess I was having my nightmare about snakes, and then my wife came up to bed, and I guess I heard her? I don't know. And I told her that the sheets in the bed suck, and and then I told her I was sleeping before you came upstairs, so she went downstairs so I would go back to sleep, but I don't remember any of this. So wow. She was not very happy with me yesterday.
Did you call them pieces of sheet?
I don't know what I call them. I have no idea. I don't know why I was having a nightmare about snakes. I hope your glasses fall off and you break them. I don't know what was going on. It was a rough bookend to AEW Double or Nothing. Everything in the middle was good. I got it just going. We had to get the fucking Google Home from the bedroom upstairs and bring it downstairs. And my wife had to stop me from throwing the Fire Stick out the front door because I was fucking heated. But I wasn't the only one having problems with my Bleacher Report. Ant Money from D-Generation Y, you know him as AOP Anthony. He was having problems with it. A bunch of people on Twitter, too. So I don't know.
Was the problem where they was telling people that their ad blocker was screwing things up?
I don't know what the problem ended up being revealed on Bleacher Report, but all I know is you just got the spinning circle.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. It was a worldwide problem. It wasn't just local. Everyone was having trouble, from what I understand.
Well, Matt, if it makes you feel any better, I did not see the best friends tag match either, so I feel like I missed out a little bit myself.
It was
actually neither did I. Now that I think about it.
Well, mm-hmm. They streamed it for free on YouTube. At one point, it had 50,000 watching it, which is awesome.
Yes.
When it was, because that's what I did. I instantly grabbed I had my laptop out because I was going to chat in the Discord. If you haven't joined our Discord, you got to get in our Discord. We're having such a good time talking about wrestling. But
Discord is fucking amazing.
But I had my laptop out, so I just had the match on my laptop. But I was like clenching the fucking Fire Stick remote with both hands and just being full of rage. I was like, this is all I want tonight is to watch this fucking pay-per-view. Thankfully, it worked on the Google Home, and I just fucking streamed it from my phone right onto the TV in the living room.
Oh.
Good. I'm glad it worked out, pal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that has to be frustrating, though, not just to be able to just watch it without having to, like, rig up a MacGyver setup.
I was so fucking annoyed. So annoyed. But I was very happy with the results. I went world record breaking 7-2.
All right.
Kevin went 5-4. And Tony, what'd you do? How'd you do, buddy? Am I number two? You're right. I am number two. I'm one game behind you. Because Tony went 4-5. That's right, Stroke Daddy.
Yeah, it's not my fault that fucking AEW doesn't know how to book a goddamn pay-per-view.
What? All right. So
I love the show, but I don't think Tony's 100% wrong.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you.
And I love the show. I thought it was the best show of 2020 so far. Maybe the best show that they ever did.
Really?
I enjoyed it that much.
I thought, I loved it too. I thought it was an excellent show. I could have done without the Chris Statlander Penelope Ford match.
Boop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think at that point, I think they were pot committed.
I think,
Boop. I'm booping everyone watching right now.
Yeah, because I can see it because it's covering your super colo mask.
Boop.
I think,
and then you become Blue Demon.
I am the demon. Look at my hands disappear. Woo.
I think there's a huge gap in between the really good women in AEW and then everybody else.
So are you putting Sheeta and Nyla Rose in that category of really good women?
I'm not putting Nyla Rose in that category. That match that they had was done, I think, to hide the fact that Nyla Rose is terrible. The fact that she's been wrestling for 6 years blew my fucking mind. When they
telling
said
you,
that,
dude, telling you, bad. I've been telling you that all along.
But like, you see the difference. Like, Statlander is in the top tier, and then Penelope Ford, she's not on the same level.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
That was the
match.
Only match I fucking hated. Hated that match.
I skipped that one. I did watch. I wanted to make sure I watched the Sheeta match. I'm very surprised that they did take the title off of Nyla here, considering there's been such a gap where they really haven't been doing much with the, with championship matches. But it is what it is. I'm not disappointed that Sheeta's the champ. She's going to be a great champ. She's fucking talented and she can go. And it, you know what? This kind of match, I agree. It did mask just how bad Nyla Rose is, and she actually put in a pretty good performance here. You know?
Absolutely. I really, really enjoyed the match. It was done well. Well,
let's not go that far. I mean, it was a good match.
I didn't say it was a great. I just said I enjoyed it for what it was.
All right.
Don't fucking think I'm going 5-star Dave Meltzer on this shit, because I'm not, okay? Can you please stop doing... You look like fucking Billy Big Mass, Big Mouth Bass.
He keeps opening his mouth like he's going to talk, so I don't try to jump in, but I can't. Then he just doesn't talk.
Do I look like Violent J?
You look like Guy Fieri.
I see the greatest show.
All right, so T-Donk.
Greatest bet that I fucking lost ever. Oh, shit, my glasses. My eyes! Sorry.
All right, T-Donk, so where do you want to start since you have so many issues with said show?
I like the MJF Jungle Boy match. I think it was well wrestled. I like how they went back and forth on certain things. Yeah, hands down, good match. Possibly match of the night, the way they wrestled, the way they told the story.
Tony, you stole my thunder. That was, for me, that's match of the night.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, it was up there. I don't think MJF needs to be taking Poison Rana's on the fucking apron.
No. Yeah. But you know what? He gave Jungle Boy a little bit of shine. You can't knock him for that.
No, I just think a move like that, you know, the margin for error is so
really starting to fucking hurt.
Good. The margin for error is so minimal. You know, it's so minimal that I don't understand it. The same thing with Darby Allin jumping off the top of that ladder with the skate. Like, I get it, but man, if he lands wrong and he fucking breaks his ankles, like, was it worth it? No. Like, what are we doing here, people? But yes, to your point, Tony and Kevin, I agree. I think it was match of the night. Stop fucking doing that!
Doing what?
Opening your mouth like you're going to say something! Put on a different mask, one that covers your mouth, please.
Give me that filet fish. Give me that fish.
T-Donk or T-Drunk?
I don't want to hear what you liked. Let's just get into the fucking meat and potatoes of it. What did you have a problem with?
Oh, you want to talk about fucking problems? Let's talk about Brian Cage. Who the fuck is this guy, and why does he deserve a title shot all of a sudden? That's fucking ridiculous. AEW's been telling great stories lately, but the one story they keep going back to that sticks in my craw is that, hey, guys that have been here this long aren't good enough for title matches, so let's just keep sticking the new guys in the fucking title picture immediately, which goes to what Kevin's been fucking railing about for months on end, that the fucking rating system isn't worth a shit anymore. It's really not. It's really not. All these fucking nobodies, I understand they're not nobodies in the wrestling world, but they just keep popping in and getting title matches. And fucking sleepy Brian Cage was out of the ring for like 25 minutes, and all of a sudden he comes back and climbs a ladder. It's like, come on, dude, really? That I didn't care for. Why not give the rub to somebody else? Have Brian Cage come in, my fucking glasses. Have Brian Cage come in, and like he destroys some people, but then he fucking loses and he goes nuts afterwards. Why not? Bam, insta-feud. There you go. Why has he got to get a title shot all of a sudden? And what the fuck is Who Can Stop the Path of Cage? Really? Really?
I didn't hate that.
I hated that a lot. It was so douchey. I'm like,
that really? Was like the one part of it that I actually didn't mind. Like Taz with him and everything.
And then like, oh, Taz is carrying his signature orange towel. The towel's fucking red, retard. Oh, sorry. I don't want to use the R word. Kate gets mad. But anyway, it was fucking, I don't know. It was stupid. Not that I hate Brian Cage. Don't get that twisted. I like Brian Cage. I think he's talented. He moves well for a big man. However, does he deserve this title shot? Not immediately. Did he fucking almost kill Darby by dropping him off with the fucking ladder, setting him up for shit? Yeah. Brian Cage tends to get a little sloppy, and it's not the first time I'm noticing this with him. I don't know.
And it's just like I agree with Tony on this. Like, I have nothing against Brian Cage. I think he looks like a star, but like we're talking about AEW, which is like, I guess if we're gonna call it like 1A and 1B with WWE, like Brian Cage is like gonna be your new top guy. Like, people who watch AEW know where he's from and know what he's done, and I just don't think, especially this quick, just like that, I thought about Brody Lee, and I still think that about Brody Lee. Just to put them there when you got guys that the crowd obviously loves and the fans love, like a Darby Allin, to be doing this whole thing with Scorpio Sky. And I'm not saying that those stories are over, or I mean not over, but like done. But did Brian Cage really need to come in and win this when you've been pushing Darby Allin, you've been pushing Scorpio Sky? I mean, Luchasaurus, like three options I would have taken over Brian Cage. But I was surprised that he was even there.
No, I think Kevin makes a good point. There were quite a few stories there that would have had a great progression had they won that match. I don't know, but Matt, you were like all about this. You were the one that called this and nailed this on the head.
Yes.
Yeah. How'd you know that?
He fucking called Tony Khan. Because
Brian Cage signed with AEW in January. And then he fucking tore his bicep, and you knew he was signed. And there weren't really a lot of people out there that would make an impact like that. You have to remember the crowd that they're playing to. It's a Smart Mark crowd. It's a PWG crowd. Brian Cage is over as fucking those crowds. Is Brian Cage the next big superstar in AEW? No, not at all. But him winning the chip to get a title shot is not the worst thing that's going to happen.
No, it's not the worst thing, but it's a real fucking head scratcher. It's no. Like, but you had. Go ahead.
If you're watching the program, right? You're watching Dynamite. They have a built-in story with Taz and Darby Allin, and now Taz, who tried to mentor Darby Allin, and Darby blew him off, brings in Brian Cage. Who does Brian Cage throw out of the ring on a ladder in a spot that they shouldn't have to have had to do twice? Brian Cage. So there's a story there. Now, I saw Tony Khan say that he's going to get his title shot at Fighter Fest. This may be just another dude to feed to Moxley. Maybe it's not time for a Jericho rematch. Maybe Darby Allin's not ready. You have to give these guys matches. You just can't throw, you know, like, what does it serve the purpose if Scorpio Sky wins and then he just gets beat by John Moxley?
Yeah, but that's the thing. This feels like Hulk Hogan 86, where you're just bringing in monsters just to fucking like hurry up and shove them in front of Hogan just for Hogan to knock him down. Like, I thought AEW was kind of different than that, but it's a weird place where they're going, where they're just lining up these beasts that have nothing to do with what's going on with the rest of AEW just to fucking take a loss to Moxley. That kind of doesn't make sense, which gets to my point about Lance Archer. Like, there's no reason Lance Archer shouldn't have fucking bulldozed through Cody and let Cody fucking fight from underneath if he really wants to win that championship. Putting the belt on Cody is a bigger head scratcher than Brian Cage in my book. I don't get it.
But why wouldn't it put – so Cody would be your TNT champion, right? He's the face of the company. He identifies as the first TNT champion, which to people who aren't familiar with the AEW product, they see Cody Rhodes, they see he's a champion, maybe they tune in. There's value in somebody like a Darby Allin beating Cody Rhodes. Darby Allin's excellent. Is he main event material? I don't think so. I think he's at least a year away. Do you have to feed someone to Moxley before he gets to MJF? Yes. So maybe that's Brian Cage's role.
I don't know. It's just weird. I guess I'm coming to expect more from AEW stories because they've shown in their track record that they're more invested than what they're doing with these championship matches now. I don't know. It's just not sitting right with me, if that makes any sense.
How did you feel about the Moxley Brody Lee match?
Didn't watch it. That's the only other match I really didn't have the time to watch yet. I didn't watch it. I'm sorry, dude. How was it?
Kev, did you watch the Brody Lee Moxley match?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought it was a fun fight. I mean, well, he didn't tap out, but the pass out finish, I guess, is a, I'm not invested in Brody Lee yet as a character. Yeah, but as a top guy, I never was. I like that was the role that they brought him in. I thought Jake the Snake would have been better with Brody Lee than with Lance Archer, to be honest with you, even though I really am enjoying the Lance Archer stuff. It's what Tony kind of just said. It's Moxley beating a guy that they just brought in, and now he's on to the next thing. So
that's
AEW is still so new that they could always go back and revisit stuff. So I'm not saying like this is like the be all end all with certain things. It's just to Tony's point, it is just not what I expected of them, and maybe that's my fault. But they are at least. I can't even say they're doing different things because they're really not.
What I just don't understand, like, what expectations are set at for AEW. Like, they are telling consistent stories. Their storylines make sense. It wasn't like they could pluck Jericho from that Inner Circle Elite feud just to give him a rematch with Moxley. That's another story. That's another layer to that story that maybe it's not time for that rematch yet.
Yeah, but they also didn't have to put him in that feud. You know what I'm saying? I know it already existed, but they didn't have. They went that direction. They choose which way to go, and they went with Jimmy. What else? Like Cody and MJF. That to me never really had a fit in the imagination. Like I said, these things can always be revisited. It's just their quick zigging and zagging, which I expect, and I'm not complaining because I love AEW. It's just different than I had envisioned. So I mean, if anything, that's on me. And man, every single point that you made has been perfectly strong. They're quite strong. So I'm, I guess, to just watch and enjoy because it was a very, very enjoyable show.
Yeah, I just don't understand the whole, like, expectations. Like, it's pro wrestling. It's been done forever. There's nothing really that they can do that's original. Like, they're just tell me a story, a consistent story, and they've been doing that. And there's layers to stories. Look.
What layers were in the, and forgive my ignorance, what layers were in the Brody Lee Moxley story?
Because of the situation that we're in, the pandemic, AEW was backed into a corner where they had these guys there. They decided to be a TV. They thought they would be able to get a couple more shows out of them. And then the government said, no, you can't do that. So they had the fight to tape Wednesday and Thursday. And they had to do the best with who was there. So it was Brody Lee. It was Matt Hardy. It wasn't a cavalcade of superstars. So they made the best out of the situation.
Fair enough. But let me cut you off, though. But Brian Cage is just following that next step. And I don't think you really needed to go to Brian Cage at this point in time just to be like Brody Lee Part 2. You know what I'm saying?
No, I understand. But who would you rather Moxley beat then? Like, Moxley still has to defend a title, and he has to beat people.
Yeah, I know. Understood. Darby Allin's a young guy. You can believe that he would give Moxley a great match, come up short. Luchasaurus is a guy that's established. People are starting to get behind. Maybe you have a babyface match where Luchasaurus takes Moxley to the limit, but he fucking winds up losing. There'd be no shame and no harm in Luchasaurus taking a loss in that kind of situation.
But Darby Allin is in the storyline with Taz and Brian Cage. Who's not to say they don't put the chip on the line against Darby Allin?
No, fair enough. I just don't like the fact that some guy just comes out of nowhere and wins this title shot all of a sudden.
He's not, you know, some guy, though, Tony. People know who Brian Cage is. It's not like when fucking James Ellsworth shows up on the WWE TV as someone's fucking special guest tag team partner. He's
all
a
right. Would you compare Brian Cage showing up the same way Matt Hardy showing up that people know who Matt Hardy is?
No, that's
ridiculous.
That's
what I'm talking about, dude. But that's what I mean. Like, you're not going to put Brian Cage on that level. Like, Matt Hardy could walk into any company and people go, wow, it's fucking Matt Hardy. I don't see half the people going like, wow, that's Brian Cage. I just don't.
Because you're looking at a completely different fan base. people that watch AEW, that follow independent wrestling, had that reaction. Oh my God, it's Brian Cage. It's you're damned if you do or you're damned if you don't for AEW. If they bring in another WWE guy, it's, oh, they're just recycling WWE guys. And they bring in Brian Cage, it's, who is this guy? No, there has to be some give and take here.
I understand, and that's not my point at all. Like, I wouldn't be like, oh, look, they're just pulling in WWE guys or whatever. But in the same token, dude, it's just a head scratcher to me. Like, I didn't understand why they did it. Well, if it plays out better, then fine. It was just a weird thing for them to do, in my opinion.
I think out of the 9 guys in that match, he is the most viable opponent for a world championship match. In my opinion.
Wouldn't a guy, and I'm not just saying this because I had him in my picks, but a guy like Scorpio Sky, he's not young, he's not an up-and-comer. Would he be a guy that could win this match, get the rub in that situation, and then Moxley beating a guy like Scorpio Sky do well for both of those guys?
I don't know. To be fair, I don't know if Scorpio Sky getting a world title shot is going to move the needle the way a Brian Cage would. I mean,
see, I don't think Brian Cage moves the needle, though. That's just me. And I got all the respect in the world for the guy.
Well, I mean, relative to Scorpio Sky, he might.
But they've been telling the Scorpio Sky story, though.
Yeah, and he had his title shot against Chris Jericho and he lost.
Well, maybe he gets redemption. He gets another title. Sure. So I don't know.
Look, you got this B show. This Fighter Fest is a B show, right? It's not all right. In. It's not all out. It's not Revolution. You got to give somebody to Moxley.
But is he cashing in his chip for Fighter Fest?
Tony Khan said after Double or Nothing that him winning the chip gets him a shot at Fighter Fest.
So that's going to be a cash in. Like that's
it. What he won the match. He gets the chip, and now he has a title match.
So this is not going to be like a fucking.
It's not like a Money in the Bank where you get to shoot. Like, you know, if he could have came out at the end of the Moxley Brody Lee match, you know, he couldn't cash in. That's my understanding. I've, as you guys know, I've had a very rocky day, so I have done zero research in terms of. What has gone on since Double or Nothing. I worked all day yesterday and then celebrated good friend and past guest of the show, Pat's birthday last night. And then you guys know what went on today. So but what I saw was that Tony Khan said, Brian Cage is facing Jon Moxley at Fighter Fest.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Kev, let's switch gears real quick. We're belt marks. I don't know how much gold plating is going to help that TNA championship.
TNT.
I'm sorry, the what?
TNT, whatever. You know what? I'm sorry, I got Moose on the mind.
I saw the pictures floating around of what it's going to look like, and I really like it, actually.
Well, let me caveat this. There was a picture going around where they took parts of the big gold belt and put it on the center plate. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen because that would have to be etched into the belt. And the way they were talking about it is they'd have to get this thing back, re-etch it, take it apart, whatnot, then plate it, then repaint it, and all this and that. I don't know if they could pull that off for Thursday. So I don't know how true.
Why? What happens Thursday?
Yeah, what's going on Thursday?
Wednesday. They're bringing the belt. They're actually allegedly, supposedly, the story is that the belt is going to be completed for Wednesday's show for Dynamite.
Right, but why did you say Thursday?
Because I'm fucking retarded. I have a mask on my head, you dingus. Do you not see what I look like?
Oh, I do. It's nobody's fault but your own, by the way.
I'm just going to start leaving my mouth open again.
All right. So what was your point here?
Nothing. I'm having a great time. Let's talk about
it. He got way too deep into the belt talk that I'm not 100% up to date with other than just seeing the picture.
I don't think that picture is going to be an accurate portrayal of what it's going to look like in its final form.
So it's going to be gold and not silver, though, right?
Yeah, well, it's going to be plated, yes. But as far as the design mimicking the big gold belt, which was the picture that was going around, you could even see the little globe and the little crown in it and whatnot. I don't think that's an accurate depiction of what it's going to look like when it's done.
Now, you could pull up a man... winning a wrestling match? No, a woman winning a wrestling match and then getting banged in the middle of the ring, but you can't pull up this picture you're talking about?
I can't fucking see, you fucking ignoramus. How about...
Wait, what? Why can't you see? What happened?
Glasses go on my face and then they fall off 5 minutes later. You know what happened.
You know why you can't see?
I'm a fucking loser, right?
Exactly. You're a fucking loser. Kevin knows. Kevin took Cody. I took Cody. I don't know why you would bet against us. Kevin, you former first time ever Shining Wizards pick champion. Why would you not listen to Kevin? What's that? What is that? Oh, how the mighty have fallen, Tony. 4-5. God damn, that's rough.
All these nuts.
And then you got to wear this mask and it looks uncomfortable. I was hoping you would put one on. What are you doing? Don't pick your nose on camera, bro. What's wrong with you?
Fucking itches, dude.
What? You shouldn't have made a dumb bet. You got to wear that for 2 hours. Holy guacamole.
Nope, 1 hour and 20 minutes.
If you're lucky. So, yes, I kind of wasn't. If the belt wasn't done, they probably shouldn't have rolled it out. But because of the circumstances, I understand it just kind of was like, I don't know. It looked like something I made in fucking wood shop, spray painted it, and then threw some fucking TNT logos on it.
Yeah, it's like backyard Fed belt. But they didn't mention anything about it on the show, did they?
They did. They mentioned that they mentioned that the belt was not complete because of the pandemic and that they will be adding gold to the belt. But I don't know if there has been a final picture produced.
What'd you guys think about Tyson sleeping while the match was going on?
Well, I was yawning. He wasn't sleeping. He was just
same thing.
I like how he ratted out Arn Anderson for getting involved in the match. He's like, yeah, throw him out. I was like, fucking A, good for you.
Well, see,
were you mad or were you not mad?
No, I was fucking, I was pleasantly surprised that Mike Tyson would call it down the middle. I was like, good on him.
He was just there.
Yeah, he was just hanging.
But he didn't fucking stick up for Arn and Cody. He was like, yep, he did it. Throw him out.
Yeah, you know what they say, snitches get stitches.
Oh, he didn't get any stitches. He got to fucking give Cody the belt. Your fucking boy, both of your boys.
Yeah, but Tony, you don't think this is he's going to be back on Dynamite Wednesday now?
Thursday.
Thursday night Dynamite. That's right. Tony's new show.
See what I do for this show? You see what I do?
Yeah, you made bad picks and you lost because you're a fucking loser.
And you fucking...
What were your other losses, T-Donk?
I don't know, Kevin.
I know. We all lost Sean Spears across the board. Everybody.
Yeah, what a fucking idiot he is.
Tony lost Nyla.
I lost that too.
Yes. Yeah. Tony lost the Inner Circle.
I lost that too.
Tony lost the ladder match.
I lost that too.
And he lost Archer.
Yeah, there you go. There's your five.
That's it.
There's your five L's.
I lost I lost MJF and I lost Sean Spears. Those are my only two L's.
I don't know. I have it pulled up on the hot mic. It's actually the image of the championship that was going around. If you look very closely at the center plate, you can actually see the four diamond and the crown and the globe from the big gold belt that's been superimposed inside where it says TNT. Belt's probably not going to look like that at this point. That's a whole lot of etching that would have been done during the etching process unless they're adding a second plate to it. But that's going to take a lot more work than just doing some gold plating. But I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Now, where's this tweet? Is this from the AEW account, or is this from like a shitty dirt sheet?
It's, you mentioned that. KM/ Kevin Matthews, who we all know and love. The belt wasn't finished yet due to the virus. Everyone can calm their asses down. Stop bitching. The belt is beautiful. Relax. And it's a picture. It's got the AEW TNT Championship logo. But as we all know, there's plenty of creative people out there that could have just added this on and Photoshopped the shit out of this. So like I said, I really doubt that this is going to be the case with the final belt, but stranger things have happened. If I had a fucking bet on it and my glasses not falling off, I would say no. But what do I know? I went 4-5 this week, right, Matt?
I'm exactly.
A fucking lucha mask.
Hey, you look. You know what? At all the bets we could have made, it could have been a lot worse.
Oh yeah, tell me, how could it have been a lot worse?
I don't know.
You could have had Matt's stipulation.
I would have worn some makeup. It would have been more comfortable.
Yeah, I guess so.
For you, maybe. It'd be weird for everyone else.
Well, I'm not, like, playing with my feet on camera, so it wouldn't make you uncomfortable, Kev.
Not yet.
You and makeup would definitely make me uncomfortable, T-Dunk. I've seen. Matt's had that infamous picture, so I've seen him. I know he's willing to do anything.
What did you guys think of the main event?
Loved it.
The Elite against the Inner Circle?
Yes.
I don't think it could have been any more perfect, to be honest with you.
My only gripe, I think the stuff with Santana and Ortiz and Matt Hardy went on a tad too long.
I thought you were going to go a different direction with that.
No. It just seemed like their shit went on like for a really long time. Because I started asking myself, I'm like, wait a minute, is nobody else involved in this match? And then finally they started doing the shit with Adam Page being at the bar and fucking Hager getting involved with him there. Overall, I loved it. I really enjoyed the shit out of it. I thought it was something different, something funny. But my spot of the match was fucking Jericho arguing with referee Aubrey about the two count. And he just looks at her and goes, "You're a shitty referee."
That was great.
That really had me fucking laughing. That was some good shit.
I loved the subtle football nuances. The excessive celebration doing the Alex Wright dance, I thought was hysterical.
Oh, when he did the fucking 100-yard, Northern Lights suplexes.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought that was a really good way to finish it up. It was excessive celebration doing the Alex Wright dance. And Tony Schiavone was awesome during this match too, by the way.
Who was firing the footballs
what else was I thinking of? Did you guys notice there was a guy kind of like on the sidelines?
I didn't notice.
I did. He was like the coach of the Inner Circle. He had like a play sheet with him. He was clapping anytime they went to the ring and there was like a wide shot. Yeah. But he had his whole face covered.
Is that supposed to be anybody?
I have no idea.
Because I didn't notice it the first time I watched it. I watched it again and I was like, wait a second, who is that guy? For a second, I thought it was like Jericho. Then I'm like, wait a second, it can't be Jericho. And then I thought like, yeah, he just had his mask covered and he was holding like the play sheet, like he was calling plays and he was clapping when everything you just said. And I'm like, is that going to be a new person or what? Or is it just, because I didn't see one for the Elite.
There were cheerleaders too. They were actually cheering for the Inner Circle. They had a couple good cheers going. Oh, one question I want to ask you guys. So I noticed a couple times during the night, there were actual people in the crowd, not the wrestlers. Vicky Guerrero made a cameo, by the way. That was awesome. But there were actual fans in the crowd. Like when you see like the seats like on like behind the hard cam, like opposite of the ramp, there were people sitting off like to the left, the right. Like were those paid fans? Like what was the story there?
No, those
probably not.
Those are probably like people from QT Marshall School, maybe friends and family of Tony Khan or Cody or the Bucks wives, the Bucks family. I'm sure they all had to go through the same testing to be there.
A lot of even the boys had like all the bracelets on, like the temperatures and the whatnots, the tests.
Well, if you notice like from like the last, even from the last few weeks of Dynamite, and I noticed this when the Kenny Omega, Matt Hardy golf cart with Sammy Guevara thing, like you saw other people there. So I'm wondering if because maybe it's like part of the facility is like outside and there's no real roof, that I wonder if they can get away with having people there. And that's what I thought they were doing before I realized that they were piping in noise. I was like, oh, wait a second. No, there's people like standing far, far away that are making the actual noise. There's actually fans there. But then I think they were piping in noise. I think that was obvious. But I think they do have regular people there, and they have for the last couple weeks.
Oh, another great spot. It's got nothing to do with the main event, something that I just remembered, in the Lance Archer-Cody match, where Cody was jaw-jacking with Jake the Snake, and he drops fucking Lance Archer with the DDT, and he just stares him down. And then Lance Archer grabs him and hooks him and hits him with the spine buster. And even fucking Shivani was like, well, I guess turnabout's fair play. That was a fucking great moment. And Lance Archer's just staring him down and shit. That was good stuff. Storytelling.
Very good. Very good stuff. I thought the main event was phenomenal. It was everything it needed to be. It was making fun of pro wrestling in a positive light. Like, come on. Like, the Matt Hardy stuff in the pool was fucking amazing. When he's underwater and he's fucking throwing the V's up, and then they have the stats come up on the screen, and Santana's like, they're like looking at the stats, like, what is this? What is this?
That's not for, there was, sorry to cut you off, there was actually a lot of good wrestling in this match, too, though. A lot of good in-ring stuff in this
match. I'm going to tape you to the chair of wheels.
I loved how the Inner Circle all had matching, they came out in, like, uniforms.
Yes,
love that too.
You know,
Ortiz had a helmet and everything, and when he took the shot to the head, it didn't faze him. That was good shit.
Yeah, I like how they kept. You know, Paige shows up late. He shows up separate. They're still going with that storyline, which I'm really enjoying. I mean, overall, it was I had so much fun with it. There were so many things. When fucking Kate the Great's favorite moment was when Adam the line marker over Jericho's.
Yeah,
that was good shit. When Jake Hager dragged him across the bar like in the old fucking westerns, how fucking great was that?
And he pours Kenny a glass of milk.
Yes,
I loved how they each had everyone in that match had their moment. I think Sammy Guevara, if we haven't said this before, I'm sure we've said it. He's a tremendous worker, but I think his acting ability is incredible, and he proved it. When he saw his face, when he saw that shopping, that not the shopping cart, the golf cart again, and they just had a close up on his face and how he reacted to that, dude is gold. And listen, I thought Sammy Guevara should have gotten the win in this match, but if they keep making him lose, I think that'll add some charm to his character. He took the pinfall, right, Matt? Or no, he did, right?
He did, yeah.
If they keep doing that, but keep having him come back strong and strong and strong with just his personality, I think that kid might never have to win a match, and he'll still be a top guy.
Yeah.
I don't like how these top mic people are fucking talking shit about me. Come on, bring it on.
Who's in top mic?
Kate's there. Kratzo's there.
What up, Kratz? What up, Kate?
Akum's there.
Yeah, buddy.
There's, like, some dead musician? That's not very nice.
From Slipknot. You're good. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah. All right. That's sure. Why not?
I think the something that we have to keep our eyes on, something that's going to be interesting, is the rate that some of these people are getting hurt. The Bucks came back Wednesday night, and by the end of that taping, Matt, had broken ribs. The Phoenix spot on Dynamite just...
Yeah, how come nobody caught his ass, dude? That was terrible.
You just shake your fucking head. Just fucking catch the guy.
And did you see the fucking way that Nyla cannonballed into Britt Baker?
That was
bad.
Yeah, so, and Britt getting hurt is huge. So it's just...
Yeah.
Which was just... It made me second guess my pick for a new champion, but I guess we'll see where they go with the Sheeta role. Because they don't have any heel women.
How long is Baker out for?
Is it a torn ACL? Do they know for sure?
Well, I don't. I feel like it's not as bad. It's not as bad as they originally thought it was, because they did that weird thing with Doc Samson during the pay-per-view, where he was like, this is one of the few times where the patient is worse than the injury. And then somebody said in an AEW post show that Tony Schiavone had said she's only going to be out for 6 weeks.
You can get around that.
Yeah.
Because she would be like the only heel. I mean, this might be a place where it does make sense to have a championship rematch with Nyla, if you could do that.
And 6 weeks, I mean, it could be very much like a Stone Cold when he was the IC champion, like just have her come out and cut fucking promos and and make people think that it's 9 to 12 months, and then she comes out and fucking waffles Sheeta with her crutches and she's fine after 6 weeks, you know, something to that effect, because they don't have any heel women.
Well, I mean, but to your point about stuff, how stuff can change earlier, you mentioned who's to say, like, you know, Brian Cage doesn't put the chip up against Darby or something like that. Who's to say they don't turn somebody heel to fill that role? And, you know, Statlander could do that easily, or someone like that, especially now that she is, I think she's like right there. So they could easily do that.
I think with her win, that should put her as the, she may stay at the number two rank or bump up to one. I don't know.
I thought she was one.
She was two. Sheeta was one.
After. Oh, okay.
They didn't really. They'll release the rankings either. They'll probably do it tomorrow or Wednesday afternoon.
Okay, so that wasn't like the best friends private party match where the winner automatically. That wasn't like that then.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Which was if you go back and watch it, the best friends private party was a good fun match. And I like that the best friends are your number one contender now. I think it shows too, like, these people made the effort to be there. They were there during this first 8 weeks or whatever of quarantine. And you know, maybe this is a little reward for them being there and making the best of the situation. I think the best friends over the first set of tapings wrestled like 10 matches, tag matches and singles matches. Like, it doesn't sound like a lot, but in like 48 hours, that's a lot for those guys to put their fucking bodies through. So, you know, you're going to put them in a high profile match. I'm okay with that. And I fucking love Trent Barretta. If you listen to my, the post show that I do with the people from D-Generation Y, like, and I'm sure Kevin can agree with me, I think he's like an unsung hero in that locker room. Like, all the places he's been and everything he's done, like, to have, like, yes, you have your Kenny Omegas and your fucking Young Bucks and your Chris Jerichos, but man, Barretta, he's seen it all, done it all, man, and just having him in the locker room is super valuable in my opinion.
I couldn't agree more, and I think it's definitely what you said in terms of just them being there and being company guys and soldiers throughout this whole thing. It also doesn't help. I mean, like, the best and the most entertaining characters that you could have as a team. So you add that and their work ethic and their reliability factor. That's absolutely huge. And of course, their experience everywhere again doesn't hurt. And I had another point that I wanted to make, but I forgot it.
Moving through the card, outside of the, when it comes back to you, Kev, just jump right in. Outside of the finish, the casino ladder match, what did you think of the casino ladder match?
Me?
Anyone.
I'm trying to get that thought back.
Psycho Clown, what did you think?
Es muy bueno. Me gusto mucho el lucha libre con doble o nada.
All right, what did you think about it, fucking super super Dumbo?
I am Psycho Clown. This is awesome. I should do this every week.
Please.
I'm going to start listening on purpose. I don't know. It was fine. It was just a lot of, like, weird shits. Like, I don't, like, there were quite a few spots. Like, that Brian Cage one just comes to mind. I did like when they all picked up the chip and they dumped it on top of him after dumping all the other shit on him. I don't know. It was fine. Just because I didn't agree so much with the decision doesn't mean like I didn't enjoy it. But you know, like you said, some of that shit is rough. Like Joey Janela blatantly yelling "motherfucker" on camera because he was selling. I don't know.
It's a fucking pay per view. Who gives a shit?
I do. These kids.
Do you listen to this podcast? You said the R word like 6 times already.
Yeah, but kids don't listen to this.
You better hope not. You're the one that has kids.
I mark this as E. Kids, wait, what are you talking about? I got baby mamas somewhere I don't know about.
You have a son, and he has friends who could easily find this podcast online.
But they are not my kids.
Okay, you have a kid that you're responsible for, and when all of his friends start
How
listening to this podcast, and you have to explain yourself,
No, he knows not to listen. He knows.
He look.
Daddy's friends have potty mouth.
What do you? When you tell somebody not to do something, they want to do it.
That's why I don't even talk about this show. People don't even know I'm a podcaster. It's like my fucking it's like my Clark Kent Superman kind of thing.
Yeah, not yet.
No, it's like your Tony Zatko's super cloak sort of
fucking
thing.
Fucking kayfabe, dude. Jesus.
You're on Facebook. You're isn't your Twitter or your Instagram Tony Z Tony Zatko's?
No, it's Big Tony Z. Come on now.
Thanks on Facebook.
By the way,
you should change it all to T-Donk.
Are we done with AEW? I will not be changing it to D-Donk.
No,
I feel like we got so much more to cover.
Yeah, I mean, the main event was awesome. The title match was amazing. I really liked it. I thought what they did with the ramp and them going through it and then having Brody Lee pass out keeps Brody Lee strong. I don't think Lance Archer needs a title. I do think he's going to win the Battle Royal this week, and I do think he's going to have to face Cody for the TNT Championship on June 3rd. So that story, I don't think, is over.
So you think Cody's going to wind up losing the title, like, pretty quickly?
Maybe.
I think, like Matt said, like, Archer doesn't necessarily need the title to keep the story going. And listen, you put those two guys in a ring, I'm cool watching that every week. So,
okay, well, there you go.
And I'm excited to watch MJF and Jungle Boy for the next, like, how many ever years they want to go and wrestle each other on AEW, because that match was phenomenal.
And it was cool. Earlier that day, I got to listen to the Cody Rhodes press conference, or got to be in on it, and it was a lot of mostly the talk was about COVID-19, but he touched on a lot of stuff there. And obviously, you know, him and MJF are close, but someone asked about like the future or whatever. And they, like, God, MJF, like, we do it every week, but we can't put over enough how good MJF is and how great he's going to be. Future world champion, any company he wants to. Let me ask you this, guys, real quick. This isn't the thought that I had of before, but it just came to my head. Say, like, for whatever reason, say AEW doesn't last. Do you think that AEW guys, say they wanted to work for WWE, do you think that WWE would kind of paint them with the same WCW stigma and completely misuse them just for the sake of because they're AEW guys, Matt?
Absolutely. 100%. If he didn't create him, he doesn't want anything to do with him. There's very few and far between. CM Punk, AJ Styles, Ric Flair. That's really about it.
Let's say it's like the top guys. Let's say Bucks, Cody, and say Mox goes back. Do you think that he would do that to them, or do you think they would get the AJ Styles, the Booker T for the push, or do you think they just could be completely crushed?
I don't think he would do anything with them. I think Cody would come back and be a job guy. They might even make him dress up as Stardust again. Kenny Omega, he clearly doesn't understand the appeal of New Japan Pro Wrestling stars because he's abused Nakamura. He's done dog shit with him, especially when you have him and AJ have a match at WrestleMania and ends with a low blow. I think that's fucking an atrocity to any wrestling fan, based on the talent of. There's people that are.
That was after the match, that low blow.
There's people that are super duper talented in the wrestling industry, but there's, like I said, very few and far between. If you weren't a Vince McMahon creation, he's going to bury you, especially when he sees, like, them kind of playing off that Brody Lee is like a Vince McMahon thing, and, you know, they're showing up outside of Raw, and Jimmy Jacobs got fired because he talked to Being the Elite. Like, if they were to ever come in, they'd probably get a shitload of money, and then they'd be doing fucking jobs to the Viking Raiders and the Street Profits and the Ascension or whatever other fucking useless tag team is in the WWE right now. And he doesn't understand Japanese wrestling, and he doesn't get, like, Nakamura, and I don't think he would understand Kenny Omega. So I don't think, I think he would not. Now, if it's Triple H, it's a different story. But I don't think, I think Vince is so fucking out of touch, he has no idea what the fuck he's doing.
T-Donk, what would be your take on AEW scooping up? I mean, clearly we, I don't think they teased it, but clearly the Revival are coming. Clearly they have already signed Brody Lee. Like, are you against them signing WWE guys that have talent just because they're WWE guys? Like if Gulak shows up or if Eric Rowan shows up or, you know, the Majors show up, is that automatically like a strike? Is that stigma still there for AEW if that happens?
No, but it depends on who they're signing. If they're signing somebody with talent and they have a place for them and they can envision something where they're going to play into a storyline or develop a storyline of their own, I've got no problem with it. None at all. I think the problem in a situation like that is where it becomes nepotism, where, yeah, you want to see, like, you know, all these guys are friendly and whatnot, but you don't want it to be a situation where it's like, well, Hulk Hogan's here, so we're going to sign the Nasty Boys. You know what I'm saying? Like, you would think that, like, sure, the Young Bucks, Cody, the guys in charge, they want to have their, they want to give their friends jobs, but they want to make sure that the friends that are getting jobs are the talented friends. You know what I'm saying?
I do. And that's kind of why I was kind of curious, and I don't know this one way or the other. Is Brian Cage a Cody guy? Are they tight? I thought in my head, I thought that they were.
I'm really not sure. Maybe. Because did Cody went through Impact for a while, did he or did he not?
Yeah, he did. He did.
So then, I mean, like there was always a chance of connections, and
I think it goes back to like OVW or one of the developmentals.
Well, sure.
So this was a random thought that crossed my mind, and I'm not saying that Brian Cage again doesn't deserve to have a prominent role in wrestling. I personally don't. See, this is tough to say because I do see the appeal of him, but I kind of don't. It's weird. It's so weird with me about him because I think he's tremendous. It's just I just don't think he has like the overwhelming personality. If that makes sense to you guys.
Well, that's probably why they're putting him with Taz to begin with. I just don't like the path of Cage. That Jesus fucking glasses. That just sounds a little like, you know, like shoehorning control. Like it sounds goofy. It really does.
I see. That's the one part. I love how we're in agreement on everything, but the weirdest part of it. I actually don't hate that at all. Like I think it's a good way to start. I think it's a good start to his entrance music. And
he doesn't say it like Taz. He says it like Pete Sinercha, like, who can stop the path of Cage? Like he should be like, brother, who can stop the path of Cage? And then,
yeah, but he was saying we're going to be like when he went up to the camera at the corner of the ring, he's like, we're going to be dropping bodies. We're going to be, that's cool too. Like dropping bodies. That's a cool catchphrase if they stick with that.
Dropping bodies.
That's what he said. He's like, we're going to be dropping bodies in here. It was so good.
That's fine. I don't know. Do we talk enough AEW? I feel like we should be doing this show on Wednesday instead.
Tony, that's the story of the weekend. That's the story of the week.
What? Are you serious?
An AEW pay-per-view, the first one of the COVID-19 era, is not the top story?
Are you, you're being dead serious?
I'm 100% serious.
I rank that third.
All right. I mean, what are your top two stories? And if they're what I think they are, I'll probably agree with you. But for
well, you're going to agree with me because number two, I don't know if we talked about it last week. I think it was already after the fact. They discovered the body of Shad Gaspard.
Of course. Nothing compares to these two stories that I know you're going to name.
Okay.
But for entertainment purposes.
All right. AEW, well, you've got to quantify it because that's not really the biggest. I mean, no, it's not really the biggest story of the week.
It's not the biggest story. It's the most entertaining story that we could do a podcast about.
Man. I know. I'm just being a dick. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get a little levity into what we have to talk about, you know, like now. You know what I'm saying? It's fucking rough, dude. I don't know if you noticed, yeah. But I saw it all started going down. Well, you know, we always creep on our buddy Dave Powers for following all these Japanese women's promotions, whether it's like Stardom or, you know, I can't even think of the other one.
Basement.
Ice Ribbon. That's the other one. Those are the
Ice
two.
Ice Ribbon, Pabst Blue Ribbon, Basement Wrestling.
Yeah, so Dave Powers actually put out, and then Matt picked up on it, that you know, Hana Kimura had posted some pretty gruesome pictures, which I was not privy to see. And thankfully, they haven't been making rounds, because from what I understand, it was the people that did see it, it was pretty rough, where she was either hurting herself or contemplating hurting herself, because apparently she was on a show. I guess it was kind of like Big Brother, where like all these celebrities like live together. And she did something where somebody, look, I hate these fucking reality shows to begin with, but Too Long Didn't Read version is somebody fucked with her gear and she got pissed off at the guy. And I think she like laid one into him and she took shit for it. A lot of unnecessary shit. And, you know, being a young, naive woman of 22 years of age, it got the better of her. And she decided that she, you know, needed to leave this world, I guess. I don't fucking know a nicer way to say it. It's fucking rough, dude. It's really rough. And I only found out because Dave was posting about it, that some people had caught the post and they were getting in touch with management at Stardom, who actually did pull a solid and run over there to see if they could, you know, stop her or help out or whatever. But, you know, unfortunately, it was not a great outcome in that situation. And it's fucking, it's depressing. It's terrible. It's unfortunate. And it's fucking despicable when you get down to it, that social media, you know, you never think like you never think of the power of words until something like this happens.
Right. Yeah. And it's, and like you said, there's really no way to other way to say it. Just, it's absolutely tragic. Both Shad and this story, both equally tragic for totally different reasons, but equally tragic. And it's, I don't know, like, if anything of, like, the culture, I mean, Mega Powers would know this way more than me, but, like, the culture over there in terms of how serious everyone takes things in Japan, if that has anything to do with it, or something that would not normally be a big deal, all of a sudden is magnified due to the culture that they're brought up with. I don't know if that's insensitive to say or not.
No,
I don't know if I'm way off, but
I mean I get what you're saying, but yeah, there is a little bit more you know, in Asia where it comes to honor and respect and things like that. And you know, you always hear stories about, you know, like if you show up late for work, like you can get like fined. Like I know there was a video a couple years ago, like in China, one of their major banks, you know, for people, they had a conference, and people that didn't do well for the year actually got paddled in front of the other employees. Like, that's some fucking weird, crazy shit. And the only way I could describe it is either A, you know, these people are just fucking Daffy Looney Tunes, or B, this is the culture and that's what's accepted. I'm not saying, you know, fucking pushing a woman to commit suicide is accepted at all, but I do get what you're saying, that there may be something there. You know, with a different culture, with, you know, and a different way of expressing things, and a different way people take things. But still, right. Bottom line, dude, it's fucking, it's just despicable. It really is.
Yeah. Again, I don't know if it's just maybe she felt that her honor was compromised or something like that, or who knows, maybe she just did have other issues and this was just the pushing point. I don't know how bad it was. So I don't know what people were saying. I don't know if Matt knows what the comments were. Like, were they saying, hey, go, you know, kill yourself? Were they saying?
I mean, I don't know specifics myself, but I think that was pretty much the gist of it, you know, yes. Coming down her. Go ahead, Matt.
So it was the situation that you described, and then it was people DMing her and tweeting at her. And we live in this culture, Japanese, American, French, wherever you are, where it's so easy to hide behind a keyboard and just type mean, hateful shit and not think about the outcome and the effect that it has on people. And yeah, as a person in the spotlight, sure, you sign up to be in the spotlight and be judged and such by your actions, and you want to do a reality TV show. Is that me or you?
I think Kevin fell down.
You want to be, you know, you're going to go on a reality TV show. Of course you understand the consequences, but, you know, again, people find it's fun. It's cool. I'm going to create this fake account so I can tell this person to fucking kill themselves. You know, there's the same, there's the same society that we live in where if, you know, your fantasy running back doesn't have a great day, you're on fucking Twitter going, you're a fucking piece of shit. Like, where's the line? Like, people need to fucking relax. It's not that none of it's serious. Wrestling isn't serious. Sports isn't serious. Like, I've said it before. At the end of the day, none of this shit fucking affects me. All right? Brian Cage having the chip and us having a conversation about it, a disagreement, is all fine and good. But when I'm fucking done with the wrestling podcast, I don't give a flying fuck if Brian Cage fucking takes the chip and he fucking wins a bazillion dollars on it. I don't give a fuck because it doesn't affect me. It doesn't pay my bills. It doesn't support my family. It doesn't give the people I care about health. Like, people need to fucking relax. And it's easy to get on social media and fall into these fucking trends. If I got to see another fucking meme, 2020, the way it was supposed to be in 2020, like, stop. Just
oh, those
fucking
are funny, dude.
They're
come
fucking
on.
Stupid. Great. People need to fucking go out for a walk, read a book, fucking educate themselves instead of just reading fucking headlines and sharing shit. Like, that's the society and the culture we've created. It's all about now. Give me now. I can say whatever I want now and hide behind this fucking keyboard. It's fucking, like, when is enough's enough? Like, this is a 22-year-old. She was bound for fucking superstardom. She would have been in a WWE in less than 5 years. And she fucking killed herself because people watched some fucking dumb reality show. And then they were like, oh, she got upset because this dude fucking washed her fucking gear that meant something to her. So she's not allowed to be upset about that. And she should fucking kill herself. Like, what fucking planet are you from where it's okay for you to fucking shoot venom at these people over fucking dumb shit like this? Who's got fucking time for that?
Well, not only that, too, but you know how they are. Like, these reality shows aren't all completely reality. They probably were hyping her up, saying, you know, this fucking guy, he washed your shit. He ruined your shit. Why don't you go over there and give him a smack? And, of course, she's probably like, yeah, fuck him. I'm going to go give him a smack. So it's probably not even 100% like her doing, putting her in that situation. And it could also be that maybe she felt bad genuinely about doing that, putting this guy on blast the way she did. And now she's fucking catching heat for it on top of it. I don't know if you saw, Mikey Whipwreck actually tweeted about it. He said one night at an ECW show, somebody had a sign that said, "Die, Mikey, die." And he's like, I didn't show that it got to me in front of the boys. He goes, but that shit really got to me. He goes, and I can only imagine being bombarded with shit like that, how it affects you as a person.
Yeah, it's absolutely. And then we live in this fucking counterculture where something like this happens and then everybody's on their fucking white horse on fucking social media. Oh, this should never happen. You should just treat each other better. Shit, those people are usually the fucking problem.
Why do you say that?
Because they fucking are. Because they feel guilty because at some point they've said some shitty stuff behind a fucking keyboard. If you don't have the fucking balls to say something to somebody's face, then you probably shouldn't fucking type it out. Look at some of the shit that these fucking creepy fucking wrestling fans say to some of these fucking women wrestlers. It's disgusting.
Yeah, yeah. Women, women.
Let me see your tits. You're a fucking whore because you don't respond to me. Like, what? She looks like she just fucking lays there and doesn't do anything. Like, what the foof? I don't understand how that fucking correlates with what they do in the fucking ring.
Because men are men and women are women, and that's the divide that there is. And no matter how much you say, like, men and women are going to be treated equally, unfortunately, women are looked at as the fairer sex. And for every time that somebody thinks that, there's a creepo out there that thinks, well, you know, she's pretty and I'll talk to her and I'll stalk her and this and that. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that that's what fucking men do, and it's fucking awful.
But there needs to be something in the Twitterverse, on Facebook, and social media, where if somebody gets flagged for that enough, you're gone. You don't get another chance. Your fucking 100%. IP address is fucking hunted down, and you're off. You're out.
100%. And Jazzy, she was fucking fuming over this, because apparently she was pretty close with Hannah. And she said there's got to be some accountability. Same thing like you said. In order to be on social media, maybe we got to start registering IP addresses, you know, locking them down. So this way, when shit like this goes down, they can figure out immediately who's behind it and you know, and get to the bottom of it.
And don't come at me with like, oh, freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is like, if you believe in something and you want to fight for that right, that's fine. If you to just tell somebody to go fucking kill themselves because you don't like what you saw on fucking TV, you're fucking lost. You have no perception of reality.
A lot of people, let me square that up for you. A lot of people think that just because this country has freedom of speech, you can say whatever you want, whenever you want. And that's not the case. First of all, the freedom of speech under the Constitution is strictly relegated to government speech, like in a government setting. Anything outside that, private, yeah, feel free to say whatever the fuck you want, even in the government. But you're not fucking free of consequences for doing that. There's a whole lot of case law that even fucking back like centuries, you can't yell fucking fire in a crowded theater. There's certain fucking restrictions on what you can say and get away with and what you can say and have consequences. And a lot of people don't fucking get that. They just think, well, Twitter lets me say whatever I want. I should have the right to say. Nah, it doesn't work that way. Why do you think fucking Mark Zuckerberg's in court every other fucking week? Because he's got to defend this shit. Because people are saying fucking awful things to each other. I'll give you another example. Fucking people in my town are bitching and moaning that people are blowing a stop sign on a particular corner. One guy's like, I hope your fucking family dies if you run that stop sign, that you fucking run into a tree and this and that. And some guy's like, dude, I understand you're pissed off about it, but why are you wishing fucking harm on other people? You know what the guy comes back with? Fuck you. I'm in town. You want me to let you know where I am so you can come find me? I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. Calm down, people.
Yeah, you
it's
think
insane, dude.
You think people would know how to act like adults?
Nope. Nope. It's, no way.
They clearly don't know the mean streets of North Arlington.
It's fucking rotten to the core, Kevin.
And watch, look, we'll get done with this. Go troll Twitter tonight for Raw. Somebody who was on their fucking white horse last week going, this should have never happened, be nice to each other, is going to be spewing fucking hateful venom all night at somebody because they don't like something on their fucking TV box because they don't have anything better to do with their fucking time. If people put in a tenth of the effort they put in on fucking social media to their health, to their education, we'd be a whole better fucking nation. But it's just fucking fat, lazy people who don't fucking have anything better to do is spend all day on fucking social media because they don't want to miss this. They got to fucking, their opinion matters. I got news for you. Your opinion doesn't fucking matter. My opinion doesn't matter. Hopefully you're just listening to this fucking show for shits and giggles. I don't know jack shit about wrestling at the end of the day. I'll tell you everything you need to know about fucking pizza because that's my business and that's how I make my living. But at the end of the fucking day, I booked fucking wrestling matches with my figures and guess what? They didn't draw a fucking dollar. So I don't know what I'm talking about half the time. I'm just having fun talking with my fucking friends. That's it.
Is this Shining Wizards Matt or is this Joey Janela on AEW Double or Nothing right now?
I'm doing it all. I'm fucking fired up about this shit. It pisses me off. She was not just a wrestler. This was a fucking 22-year-old girl. 22!
And she's a girl, dude. You could say, yeah, 22, she's a woman. She's still a fucking kid. She hasn't experienced half of what the world has to offer her yet. You know what I'm saying?
Tony, you've lived triple her life.
All right, calm down. Take it easy.
Super Kalo.
Super Kalo's fucking nose is itching. His forehead's itching. Kev, I didn't mean to come down on you saying that was the great, you know, the biggest story of the weekend. But there's still other big stories. We know, unfortunately, that Shad Gaspard, his body was recovered. What another fucking tragedy, dude. Puts his kid ahead of him, says, no, rescue my kid. You know, hopefully, I guess, come back for him. And unfortunately, you know, more tragedy in wrestling. Yeah. Shad's no longer with us.
And that's it. Going from this conversation that we just had to this one is the irony and the messed up irony in the world is that all these people that Matt was just talking about are still exist. And Shad Gaspard is the one that's gone.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. So, and the videos, the tributes and stuff that guys like, you know, JTG and Chris Masters and Shelton Benjamin that these guys are putting out are just, yeah, it's just it's gut wrenching and so many more than one and like I said, like these mouth breathers, these window lickers are around and Shad Gaspard isn't, and it's just I just don't get it.
And it's fucking terrible because he was genuinely a nice guy. You know, we talked to JTG a couple of times over the past couple of years. Always had great things to say about Shad. You know, Shad was the guy that stopped that armed robbery a couple of years ago. I think that was down in Florida, if my memory serves me correctly.
I'm not sure, but it was back in like 2016.
Yeah. Genuinely good dude. Good dude. It's unfortunate. It really is. All right, let's get back out of the tragedies because I want to tell you something that I enjoyed this fucking week.
Before you jump, I know where you're going with this, but can we just give props to John Cena, Tony Khan,
Cody Rhodes,
Chris Jericho. I mean, John Cena donated fucking 10 grand.
Yeah.
To the Shad Gaspard fund, and Jericho put money in, a lot of money, not like a couple bucks. I'm sure there's tons of other wrestlers that did too, but and Cena did it under an alias, but it was because of it, yeah. So I mean,
Nation or some shit, yeah.
Yeah, it, just you know, these guys deserve. It's nice to know that there's people that will do the right thing in the wrestling business, no matter what. That have the means. Like Tony Khan didn't have to, you know, throw money in the pot. But you know, it's just nice to see that there's all these people. And you know, as much shit as John Cena gets on, like at the end of the day, is there anyone better than fucking? Like seriously, is there anyone better than John Cena?
Well, if you ask Alex Riley about that, I'm sure he'll have a different story. But yes, I do agree. John Cena is a fucking good guy.
You know, the goat. He deserves everything he got, man. To fucking with the money and the fucking make a wishes, like for a man to take that time, and that's, you know, and he wasn't running a fucking, you know, 2 day a week schedule. He was fucking 365, 24/7. So, but I just want to give props to John Cena for that. All right, so now Tony's excitement.
Do you know why? Do you know why? Can you guess why? Can you guess why?
The floor is your. Have you been to Mongrovia?
I've been to Carnyland. Carnyland is the greatest land. It's better than Mexico land. Look at me dancing like Super Kello. When you say Kello, where you want to go? Why I sing Jamaican, I don't know, but I'm going to Carnyland. Did you guys get to watch the fucking awesomeness that is the NWA Carnyland? It was fan-fucking-tastic.
Now, did you watch the show that dropped tonight?
I did not, but I did watch Eli Drake's fucking podcast last week. I thought it was great, good stuff. First of all, let me get into Carnyland. And it's a simple concept, right? These guys are sitting around. They don't really have much doing because they're not wrestling. So Billy Corgan, WPC, my boy, he's like, hey, we're going to give you all podcasts. Let's do this and see how it goes. Oh, it was fantastic. We got a history lesson from Tim Storm, who taught us about Ben Franklin, who not only is an American hero, but also one of the founders of Carnyland, Kev. I bet you didn't know that. He also wrote a thesis about farting. So there you go. And this is Tim Storm telling us this. This isn't just some fucking rum-dum with a textbook. This is like a legit school teacher telling us about Ben Franklin. Who else do we get? We got Nick Aldis telling us about Carney Chris, who is a promoter that tried to stick him with a hotel bill. Good stuff. We got promo classes with Allison Kay, promo 101. That was good shit. We got a tour with Aaron Stevens of Mongrovia, who actually, whatchamacallit, they had a map of Mongrovia, and one of the islands was in the shape of the fucking horns, which was fucking fantastic. Oh, my God, there was so much good shit. Eli Drake was on. Nick Aldis was talking about his new podcast, which he's going to be doing with Tom Latimer. And who's the fucking ginger guy that used to be on Impact, Kev? You know what I'm talking about.
The ginger guy?
Yeah, British accent. I can't think of his name. Matt would know, but Matt stepped away for a second.
Not Doug Williams?
No, he had one word name. Fuck.
Bram? No, that's Latimer.
No. Fuck, I can't think of his name. He's the guy that they told Kevin Matthews they already had one of him.
Oh,
Matt. No, who was the ginger that was in TNA?
Crimson.
Crimson, that was it. Thank you.
Oh.
Yeah, so he's got a podcast.
He's not British?
Yeah, he's sort of. Doesn't he have an accent? I thought he did. He doesn't have an accent.
No. Matt?
Crimson. All right, well, then I was wrong. Fuck me running. I'm sorry, I can't hear. I got this mask on. Anyway, I'm trying to think of what else, dude. There was so much good shit that happened during Carnyland. Oh, so Joe Galley was kind of the host, but Stu Bennett is like the voiceover guy, and he keeps making Joe Galley disappear, which is really fucking funny. Fuck, what else happened, dude? What else happened? Come on, Matt. You got to remember some of this shit for me.
What? I'm sorry, I had to get up. What did you cover?
I covered, what's her name? Allison Kay doing promos. I covered Carney Charlie with Aldis. I covered, what's his name? Eli Drake's new podcast. Tim Storm telling us about the history of whatchamacallit.
Ben Franklin. Did you talk about Zicky Dice?
No, we didn't get there. That was the other thing. Now I forgot the other thing we talked about. Yes, Zicky Dice. What was it called? Rolling the Dice? It's kind of like a dating game show where he gets like this random woman who like I don't even remember what she called in for, but he's trying to like give her like these scenarios like, what do you do? It's me and you and Kenny G and some other shit. Fuck. I can't even talk.
Clearly.
But it was good shit, dude. Good shit.
Tonga bonga.
Fucking assholes. You think this is fun, huh?
And they have like a whole week of programming. There's a Carnyland every Tuesday. The thing with Aldis is Monday nights, the sit down interviews with him. Zicky Dice has a show. Eli Drake has a show.
Yes. So, Allison Kay's going to be doing her promo shit. Very good stuff, dude. Did you notice the map? I told Kevin the map of Mongrovia had an island in the shape of the fucking Mongrovian pointers.
I did.
Dude,
I did.
This is why people, if you're listening, you got to get in on Discord. Because I was watching this shit Tuesday and I was fucking going off like a kid in a candy store, just typing away like, oh my God, this and oh my God, that. Good stuff.
Yeah, you and Ryan had a good time in there.
Oh yeah, Ryan, fucking Dark Helmet himself. He was in there with me. It was good times. It was very good times.
Well, good. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, it was fun.
Enjoyed yourself at Carnyland. Did you enjoy yourself at MLW Anthology?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I know you really didn't care for it because this week's anthology was Mance Warner. And I get what you're saying, that Mance hasn't really been in MLW for more than a cup of coffee. They showcased two great matches. They showcased him against Jimmy Havoc, wire match. And they showcased him in his Loser Leaves MLW match against Sammy Callahan. Both great matches. And the send-off was fucking Jim Cornette was still doing commentary at that time for MLW. And goddamn. And Sammy Callahan, it was right after the Eddie Edwards thing where he hit Eddie Edwards in the face with the baseball bat. So Cornette kept going out and calling him reckless. And he fucking comes out and he just spits right at Cornette, this big fucking mouthful of water. Fantastic
shit.
He
just spit on me, motherfucker.
Goddamn. Dirty motherfucker.
How many Jim Cornettes are on the show?
Fucking 45.
Motherfucker. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. I just was like, whatever.
No, it was good. And they did a little bit more at the end where, like, they were doing interviews. And as we know now, Alex Hammerstone, fucking the Meat Castle, has also re-signed with MLW. So good on him. He actually put out a little video explaining why he re-signed with MLW. And he had some good answers. He's like, MLW is where it's at. I'm wrestling some great people, and he's going for the fucking world title. He already made it clear he wants to go for that world title. So good on him. We got more with the Los Parks talking about how they're coming for Contra. We got more from fucking Injustice, how they're coming for Contra. Dude, I don't know if you're aware. There's a lot of people coming for Contra. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen once ML Dubs gets back into it.
You make enough noise, someone's going to notice at some point, and it seems like Contra is at that point. They're at a crossroads where everybody's gunning for him now.
And next week, I think a little more in your wheelhouse, the anthology is going to be featuring Loki, who's been with the company probably since its inception, 2002. I know there's a big hiatus in the middle, but if anybody's got some fucking backstory with MLW, it's Loki, former MLW world champion, by the way.
Right, and I liked what they did with the La Parca one last week, 2 weeks ago. I thought that was done really well. Like, give me stuff. I get it that, you know, people are maybe looking for something fresh to watch, so this is something new. So, yes, let's feature Mance, who is awesome. Mance is awesome. But, like, I don't know. I feel like we just fucking talked about this, Sammy. Like, that was the match where Sammy Callen got fired because he damaged the bleachers. And then, like, the Jimmy Havoc stuff, like, just happened, like, 3 months ago, right?
Well, look, Priscilla Kelly was in his corner at this point. So anytime Priscilla Kelly's on TV is aces in my book.
Fair enough. Yeah, I don't know. Like, low-key, something with a little history. Let's dig a little deeper. Let's see some older stuff. Like, I'm into that. I'm excited for this one. Let's check that out.
Now, yes.
I didn't.
I'm sorry. Glass falling off.
I didn't watch.
Oh, you know who else was on this episode?
Who?
Talking about knocking low-key out? Your boy, King Mo.
You motherfucker.
Don't you motherfucker me, because King Mo is the shit, and you better fucking recognize.
King Mo needs to stay in his lane, all right? King Mo, he's a good MMA fighter.
Mo's lane is any fucking highway he wants it to be.
Nope. Back to AEW, very nervous to see that guy from America's Top Team in the front row.
Oh, yeah.
Did that
stick in your craw?
I didn't know who he was there for because I did not notice Vitor Belfort, because he does not look like the Vitor Belfort that I know. So I was happy that's not King Mo. I could not. If King Mo showed up, and I would have gone to bed. I would have turned it off. I'd never watch AEW again. If King Mo showed up in an AEW ring, never watch AEW again. Facts.
Who's the guy that's with King Mo in MLW? That's Dan Lambert?
Yes.
Okay, because they interviewed him as well in that little, like, schmoz they do at the end of the episode. And I don't know where he got this image from, but he was clearly green screened. And he had, like, all these belts behind him, but they were all, like, WWE and, like, all these other, like, replica belts. So he must have fucking got some image from some belt mark page and just decided, yeah, these look like cool championships. I'll just put this in the background.
I want every single person that hears this to know. You can go back to Hot Mike and you could rewatch these episodes. You have to watch this episode just to watch the amount of times the glasses fall off of Tony's face while he's in the middle of a sentence. It is hysterical.
That's not nice.
You could have put that belt up.
He had no problem though when he was talking about NWA. Did you notice that? They were glued to his head talking about power.
Because I keep trying to look down and I'm checking notes, and the more I start checking notes, the more I'm moving around.
I'm glad one of us has notes tonight.
Well,
I have no idea. No idea what's going on in the world of pro wrestling in the last week or so.
I thought we had more shit to talk about.
Do we have Shining Wizards Intercontinental Championship Tournament to talk about?
Yes, we do. But before we do that, can we thank those who continue to support us on the Shining Wizards?
You can. Yes, please do that. So I gotta go potty. Give me a minute. You do you. I gotta go. Hold on.
All right, Kevin.
You.
Did you know that for as little as $1, you can support the Shining Wizards on Patreon? I'll take it. That's a no. Yes, you can support us for as little as $1 on our Patreon subscription service thing. You just go over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast. You go there, you sign up, and for as little as a dollar, you get some goodies. Things that we offer. We offer to read your name as one of our producers each and every week on the Shining Wizards. That's not all. You get a 10% discount code over at Pro Wrestling Tees for our merchandise. You donate $3, you get access to watch-alongs. You donate $5, we will plug your shit. You donate $10, $20, we will send you a box of wizardry. You want to talk about my glasses falling off? Now I'm hyped up because boxes of wizardry are the shit, and you need to get on that. So head on over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast. I don't even know if I'm on camera anymore, but I'm going to tell you who continues to support us through Patreon. We're going to start with the queen of the Shining Wizards, Ms. Kathy Hummer. We're going to talk about the king of the Shining Wizards, Mr. Manny Crozzo, who was actually in with us on a watch-along on Saturday. We're talking about the AOP of the SWP, members of D-Generation Y, Danny and Anthony, the Russinello brothers. And we also got Ryan Arthur, part of that crew. We got Kate the Great, a part of the crew. Ryan Arthur, you can find him over at elementary.com, the Elementary Brewing Company, in fucking legendary Hackensack, New Jersey, because Hackensack is the home of the Hackensack Bulls. Just ask fucking Richard Pryor about it, and he'll tell you, fucking vote none of the above. Kate Hensler, Kate the Great, On Deck IC. You got shit to promote, and I mean literal shit. You take that shit to Kate. You go, Kate, can you promote this shit for me? And she'll go, you'll bet your fucking sweet ass I can, because that's how Kate rolls. We got Sean's. We got Sean's up the ass. We got Sean's up the wazoo. We got Sean Toe. We got Sean Colejo. And they're fucking related because their names are Sean, and they're halfway around the world from each other. Shining Wizards, everybody's part of the family. Brett Simonello, that little fucking guinea. What do you hear? What do you say? He kicks in his ducats, and he's a supporter of the show. We got two Matts. We got Matt Garifo, no relation to KJG. And we got Matt Mellinger, definitely no relation to KJG. My glasses are falling off because I'm fucking hyped up and piped up. Christine Friesendorf, the other half of the fucking Sign Girls, she's kicking in ducats. What the fuck? Mark Parolini, his fucking birthday was 2 months ago. Happy birthday, Mark. God, Drinkport, Kenny Hawson. He's got a birthday sometime this year. Happy birthday to you, my man. Jay Cop, big cop of pump. Holla if you hear him. He's got the fucking guns for days, and he's the only guy from Turnbuckle Throwbacks that loves what we do. Thank you, Big K. JK, big cop of pump. Thomas Cops, the Mod Spock. He's a motherfucker from back in the day, and he's celebrating with us every fucking week. Michael Hammond, he's another cool motherfucker. He supports us every week, too. Why aren't you supporting us? You want to know about another cool motherfucker? David Henry Bauer III. It's not David Henry Bauer III. He's my man. And his boy, Antonio Hauserman, he's making some crazy fucked up music over at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. I like it. You'll like it, too. Or I'm going to come find you, and I'm going to break you in half, bitch. And finally, last and certainly least, actually, he's not least. He's fucking great. He is the one and only William Mercier Jr. Kevin, that's your cue. Am I all by myself on this? Have I been talking to myself for the past 5 minutes? Is Skype even on? Am I alive? So here, let me do it. I'm taking Kevin's role tonight. Lives are gonna be in William Mercier's hands. And I'm stealing gimmicks, bitch. You know what I mean? And that is your list, Patreon producers. Like I said, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. We did two watch-alongs over the past week. I had one where we watched Bret Hart and Roddy Piper from WrestleMania 8 for the IC title. And I even watched one a couple weeks ago. I fucking forgot what. Oh, and it was the fucking Money in the Bank 2020. That's right. That was some good shit. Where the fuck is Kevin? Why is he an inch small on my screen? And why did he miss his one fucking plug for fucking William Mercier Jr., Matt? I don't understand
I don't know.
Now I'm pissed. Or I'm pissed now.
Since
we're running out of time, you want me to switch off masks? You want me to put on something different?
Maybe I'll try go nuts. Go nuts, buddy.
Take us to the next thing, whatever it is, while I'm doing this.
Take us to the next thing. Well, we're running the Shining Wizards World's Greatest Intercontinental Championship contest on Facebook and Twitter.
Sorry about that.
And we've gone from the Sweet 16 down to the Field of 8.
Wait, you know what? While you're talking, I'll just pop up the graphic. Please,
because I don't have any of this readily available for myself.
So it's on the screen right now if you're watching on the hot mic. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Continue.
All right. So, yeah. Oh, there it is. Thank you. I can't make it bigger, though, because I can't see for shit. So it's on the hot mic, though. Is there more? Can I make it bigger? Just bear with us. This is a... If you know me, you know things are going on. And if you don't, I apologize. Thanks for listening. I can't see this at all, but we are in the Elite Eight of the Shining Wizards.
Hola! Soy la parca! I'm going to make chorizo. It is like a big chorizo, like my chorizo.
And I'm really fucking suffocating in this thing, dude.
Yeah, that was the whole idea, was for you to wear something that would make you like...
Yeah, but now I can't even put my glasses on. I got no ears to hold them up.
Oh, no. All right, well, I don't want you to have a fucking coronary over there, buddy.
El Radio La Parca.
All right, so if you could run down the Elite Eight, because I have nothing in front of me, and I didn't get to make a video today, so
I got a mask off.
Yeah, that's fine. Take I say it's okay for you to take off the mask, buddy.
Well, thank you. I'm going to pull up a closer image just so I could see it, because the one I have on here is also really small. So let me just zoom in here. Okay. Nothing really special. We have three of our four regions where we're actually down to number one. Number two, I'll start with Dean Douglas. Mr. Perfect handily defeated Jeff Hardy. None of these were close, dude. None of the ones I'm going over are close right now. So Mr. Perfect as your number one seed in the Dean Douglas region. He's moving on to face the number two seed, Shawn Michaels, who handily beat Cody Rhodes. Some of these were like 75% to 25%. It wasn't even close with the voting. In the Broski region, number one Chris Jericho beats number five Goldust. He'll be facing number two Razor Ramon. Unfortunately, Don Morocco, the number three seed, was knocked out by Razor in the round of 16. So far in the Dean Douglas region, you got Mr. Perfect at number one taking on Shawn Michaels, number two. Broski region, Chris Jericho, number one, taking on Razor Ramon, number two.
Oh, wow.
We move over to the other side of the bracket. Marvelous Mark region, Randy Savage handily beats The Rock. He's moving on to the Elite Eight as your number one seed. And finally, Rowdy Roddy Piper is hitting the bricks as Bret the Hitman Hart, your number two seed, eliminates your number 14 seed, Rowdy Roddy Piper. Notes so far, what are your thoughts on these six matchups?
I don't feel good about this Bret Hart-Randy Savage matchup. I'm going to let you know that right now. As a Bret Hart fan.
I feel bad that Don Morocco drew Razor Ramon, but it is what it is. I completely understand Razor winning. I understand Jericho winning. I'm not sure how that one's going to go, honestly. I guess we'll find out, like, right out the gate who's going to take off first. Yeah, Randy Savage is probably going to roll over Bret Hart, dude.
I hope not. I really hope not.
Don Morocco could have...
Don Morocco, yeah?
Yeah. Could have been the world champion.
Don Morocco could have drawn any of these other winners and would have got blown out of the water by every single one of them.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. It's surprising to see that Don Morocco actually got this far, to be honest with you. Shawn Michaels, Mr. Perfect's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it is.
They're all going to be good.
Well, Kev, we haven't done the Stone Cold region, which is the bane of our existence to this point. Number one, Honky Tonk Man. It was close. I think they actually split where Triple H won Twitter by one vote, but wound up getting slaughtered on the Facebook. So Honky Tonk Man, your number one seed in Stone Cold region, advances. And my personal disappointment of the entire tournament so far, your number three seed, Tito Santana, eliminated by the number 10 seed, Chris Benoit. So we have a Honky Tonk Man, number one seed, taking on Chris Benoit, number 10 seed, in your finals of the Stone Cold region. Thoughts on these, Kevin and Matt?
How close was it?
I have it right in front of me here. All right, so on Twitter, Tito Santana got 65 votes, and Chris Benoit got 91 votes.
Yikes. That was
on Facebook. Tito Santana actually won Facebook. Tito Santana got 53 votes to Chris Benoit's 45, giving it a total votes. Chris Benoit with 136 to Tito Santana's 118.
Oof.
So 18 votes, right?
Yeah.
That's rough. And you're probably going to see Benoit beat the Honky Tonk Man in the next round because people don't understand that this is the greatest Intercontinental Championship tournament of all time.
Well, I don't think he will. I think Benoit's, I can't even call it a Cinderella story. call it Murderer's Row. I think that stops with Honky Tonk.
Hope you're right, Kevin. I hope you're right. The voting will start Wednesday on our Facebook and Twitter, facebook.com/Wizards Podcast, on Twitter at Wizards Podcast. So make sure you're following and you're voting on both platforms. I've gotten several messages through our Facebook Shining Wizards account. So-and-so won on Facebook. Why did so-and-so advance? Because both votings count. If you're not watching the videos that I put out, you should be watching those. Kevin puts together the numbers. Tony puts together those beautiful graphics. Unfortunately, I probably won't have time to put out a video this week. I'll try tomorrow, but we'll see. So we're down to the Elite Eight, and it starts Wednesday at noon. Four matches will drop, and then you'll have till Monday to vote for them. So we have that going for us. Now, what are you, the executioner here, Tony?
I don't know. This is the only mask that's comfortable. It's letting me wear my glasses. I could actually sort of read the screen. Now my glasses are starting to fog up, but we've only got about another maybe 20 minutes of the show or however much we have left. I can't even read the clock. So I figured I deserve a little comfort after having to do the plugs all by myself.
I'll give you comfort. Let's talk about something that was uncomfortable. Dark Side of the Ring.
Yes. Holy shit, dude. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to steal your open from you, but go ahead.
That was it. There was no more open to it. Tough to watch.
Very tough to watch. The one thing that was that almost broke me down was listening to D'Lo Brown talk about it. That was rough. When he was talking about how like they brought him right by him and stuff. That was pretty rough. Another thing that I never really considered, which is strange, because usually I'll pick up on shit like this. But Martha Hart made a great point. This was potentially a crime scene. And the fact that the show was allowed to continue without having a police investigation immediately is really fucked up in hindsight. They wrestled the entire show and there was evidence in that corner. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Like whatever damage to the ring there was from Owen hitting the ring, the blood stains. That's all shit that, like, in a police investigation, they need to take into account to see what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And even if, like, say, God forbid, like, you know, someone, like, passes away in their home of obviously natural causes, someone still comes and there's still an investigation. And this was clearly not natural causes. This was blatant malfeasance somewhere, or at the very least, a terrible accident. And had to have absolutely nothing done still blows my mind.
And the other thing that really, like, I was like, what? When Martha and what's the kid's name? Oja?
Oj,
that's it. They went up on the fucking catwalk to see exactly where Owen was. That was like, what the? I was like, really? I don't know if I would have been able to fucking do that, dude. That's some crazy shit to fucking go up there, like to actually, you know, see where he was and figure all that shit out for yourself, like get into that mindset of like him being up there. That's
another part of this that always boggles my mind. It doesn't boggle my mind, but we talked earlier about how Shad Gaspard, whatever, I didn't mean whatever, but said to go save his son first when Owen Hart from falling down from God knows how high. Yells, move out of the way, move out of the way. To the referee, oh God, what's his name?
Jimmy Corderas.
Jimmy Corderas, yeah. Is just another tribute and character strengthening of Owen Hart that everyone thought that he was.
And we knew this too going in, but how despicable is it of Kevin Dunn to fucking tell JR, hey, Owen's dead and we're back in 10? Like, really? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a really fucking despicable place to put Jim Ross in.
The whole thing is still 20 years later leaves a terrible taste in your mouth. You know, I understand that it's a business, but at the same time, like, one of your workers, one of your employees died in the ring in front, like, and it's not like, you know, you can't make up a reason why you should have to continue the show. The show should have been stopped. Do I think people would have been outraged when they found out that the show was stopped because he died in the ring? No. Would people have asked for refunds? I'm sure people would have. But you were at the height of your fucking business. You could have afforded. You can't put a price tag on another human being's life. Somebody who has bled, sweat, tears, got in a fucking harness and did some fucking dumb gimmick because your writers in the shitty attitude era couldn't figure out what to do with one of the best wrestlers in the world, fucking donned that dumb fucking outfit and went up in the fucking rafters for your amusement. Fuck off.
All right, well, to play devil's advocate there, didn't Owen Hart turn down a whole bunch of other ideas and then said that he was okay with this one? Because
yeah, because they wanted him to do like angles where he was going to fucking cheat on his wife.
Right, which was par for the course at the time.
Did you see when they were actually showing the harness, like the clasp?
Oh God.
Martha has that clasp. Like she has it with all of Owen's stuff. And dude, like I know about carabiners, not a whole lot because
sorry,
I
what?
The carabiners, the clips with like the twist-ons, the stuff that they used to like rappel. All
right, carabiners.
Yeah, but whatever. You know the clip that fucking goes like this, and then you clip it on, and then you could even like screw with like a thing on it to get it like really.
Yeah, carabiners.
Yes. What did I say? Did I say carabiners?
No, it's carabiners.
Carabiners. Hey, that's racist. Fuck you.
What? Oh my god.
Oh boo! I don't have the bell. Ding 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 ding. Yeah, so she's got it, and it literally, like, I forget what they said it was meant for. Was it meant for, like, fishing nets or some shit?
It was like, for, I think it was for, like, a sailboat or a boat or something that like that. It.
Like a fucking, for the mast, to keep the mast from swaying or something. Like, how the fuck do you expect this to hold up a human being? Not only that, Kevin, but who was it? It was one of the minis. Was it Max Mini or Masarita Sagrada? He was supposed to be strapped to Owen's chest. They wanted the two of them to come down together.
No, they did not.
Yeah. Where's Matt? Matt knows about this.
That wasn't in the show, was it? They didn't mention that at all.
That wasn't in the show, but that was an interview after the fact. That literally I didn't find out about until after the show aired. Like literally like a day or two later it came out.
Wait, you didn't find out about that till after Dark Side of the Ring aired or after the pay-per-view aired?
After it aired. I got to take the mask off if you want me to find it. I can try to pull it up real quick. Jesus, I'm sweating now.
But they never did anything with a mini Blue Blazer at all, ever.
Here, Max Mini was supposed to be attached. Here it is. Ba-ba-ba-ba. According to an investigative file that had been brought to light, wrestler Max Mini was supposed to be attached to Owen Hart for the stunt that led to Owen's death. David Bixenspan brought this out, as a matter of fact. He had acquired an investigative file which said that Max was originally supposed to be part of the stunt. From page 33 of the Kansas City Police Department's investigative file, from an interview back in 1999 with the rigger, Bobby Talbert, Talbert stated originally the stunt was to be that midget Max Mini would be attached to the victim. However, they later decided against performing that stunt. We're only going to lower the victim to the ring. So there it is. It's in the police report given by this Bobby Talbert, who was in charge of rigging up Owen with the gear.
Wow.
That's crazy. That's crazy stuff.
That's like an extra like 100 pounds.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if the two of them would have fell? Unbelievable.
I don't know. The whole thing was tough. What do you think about the merch that they released?
I mean, it's cool. I mean, I'm not buying an Owen Hart shirt. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not something that I had to go out to get, but.
I guess my point was, what are your thoughts of them having the Dark Side of the Ring logo displayed, like, right in the middle? Did you see the shirt or no?
Yeah, I did. It's on Pro Wrestling Tees. I can pull it up again and take another look at it. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
But, yeah, you know, it has, like, it's a nice shirt. It has all, like, his like, gimmicks featured in it, but it just says, like, Dark Side of the Ring, right front and center.
Yeah, I mean, it's tiny. It's like in the corner, and it's got the logo of the Owen Hart Foundation on the left too. So,
yeah,
but
yeah,
I see the other one. I see the one you mean. It says Owen Hart, and it's got Dark Side of the Ring. And you know what? I don't know. I mean, I guess that's a Martha decision.
Yeah, and I guess it wouldn't have been released at all. I guess if they didn't have it there, and if all that matters is that she approved it and it's going to the foundation and all that stuff. But it's just like,
you know,
just...
what? You mentioned it. She probably gave, she probably wanted to make sure they got credit for doing all this. So, you know, that's probably,
it's just probably... like, it's just weird. It's just like, it doesn't really seem, it seems more like Dark Side of the Ring merch than Owen Hart merch. But...
Yeah, but it's got Owen Hart stuff on it. It's got, actually the second one's a cool design with like the, kind of like the Hart logo. And, you know, it says forever in our hearts and all that. Like, you know what? It is what it is. That doesn't bother me. Good on them.
You see, the second most highest selling shirt in the history of pro wrestling tees.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, you know what number one is?
What?
The Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast shirt, which you can become a part of and go pick it up over there now at prowrestlingtees.com/ShiningWizards. And if you're a Patreon supporter, you'll get a 10% discount. So get on over there. When you're buying an Owen Hart shirt, throw on a shirt for your boys. We want to get our logo on everybody's titties and nipples and all over the world.
Wow. Titties and nipples and all over the world.
There you go. For the world.
I stocked up on the sale.
Did you?
I did. I did it for the Patreon.
I did it for the Rock.
For the Patreon subscribers.
Oh, there you go. You can get a box of Wizardry and get on that shit. Matt's got some good t-shirts to send your
I
way.
I did a lot of mystery grab bag. I only got myself one t-shirt. I got myself an Adam Page cowboy shit t-shirt, and then I made sure I got to $150, so the shipping is free. So I loaded up on pro wrestling t-shirts, pins, everything. I loaded up specifically for boxes of Wizardry that we're going to do in giveaways and for Patreon people. So if you're thinking about joining the Patreon, if you are a Patreon, you can afford a couple extra bucks to go up a level. I know I got some sweet shit coming. What it is, I won't know till I get it in terms of the mystery t-shirts. But if you've heard me talk about it before on the show, I have never been disappointed with my mystery t-shirts. My last batch, I got a stunning Steve Austin t-shirt. I got the Eddie Guerrero one that looks like the cover of Scarface. And what the fuck was the third one?
What the fuck, man?
Oh, I forget what the third one was. Whatever, but it was awesome.
I can't take Tony seriously here with this thing on his face.
I couldn't take him seriously the whole show.
Like, I don't even know what this is supposed to be. It looks like he's got like a Beast Waters mask on his face.
Beekeeper!
He's the executioner, man.
I'm the beekeeper. That's my gimmick.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Well, tough shit. I lost the bet, so I have to wear it for however much longer the show's going.
You did lose a bet.
See that?
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy.
Boingy, 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 boingy.
I don't know. That's it for me, boys. I got nothing else tonight. I'm tapped.
That's all right. I'm tapping around. Look, now you see me? Wait, now you don't. Now you see me? Now you don't. Oh, great. Now Siri's open because I said, now you see me. Shut up, Siri. Get out of here. Look, here is my John Cena impression.
Because we can't see him.
Exactly. Thank you, Kevin.
Well done.
I don't know. Anybody well else got anything as we pull the train into the station, I guess?
I'm okay.
I got nothing. I got nothing. I'm happy I just decided to do the show tonight with you fellas because it was nice to take a break.
Good,
what?
Yes. I said we're happy that you decided to join us too.
Agreed, man.
And Wednesday night show is up in the air. It may happen without me, but we'll see.
Ooh, interesting. And,
the thing we're supposed to do on Thursday might have to be pushed back a week too, but we could talk about that later.
Okay, cool. All
right, brother.
All right, we are the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast. Hopefully you're staying safe during these times as the world starts to slowly open up. Remember, just because the world is opening up, you still have to wear a mask. You still have to stay 6 feet away from each other. We have one chance to get this right. Please do not fuck this up. I'm over it. I'm over all of it. I am still wearing my mask. I'm still staying away from people, but I'm tapped out. I'm fucking done after today. So please stay safe. Don't fuck this up, people.
Yeah, fuckers.
Yeah, man.
We'll find out in 3 weeks if we fucked it up or not, but I'm hoping we didn't. I want to get back to some sense of normalcy. I'm sure, Kevin, you're excited. Did they pass that NHL hockey thing yet, that 24-team gimmick?
The players passed it. I think they're just working on a start date and locations, I think.
That'll be
cool. The NBA is coming back to Orlando. They're all going to be playing at Disney World. So
great. Give me some fucking live sports, please. I need something to watch on TV.
I watched the golf thing yesterday. I watched Tom Brady and Peyton Manning play golf. That's how bored I was. All right, Tony.
Excuse me. But we are the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast every Monday night. Myself, Tony, Kevin, we rock it out. We do the bonus show Wednesday night. Myself, at D-Generation Y, we talk AEW Dynamite. We're doing stuff on our Discord. My allergies, fuck.
Wait a minute.
God bless.
Oh, shit.
I got this. That's Matt. That's Kevin. and I'm a fucking loser wearing a fucking Lucha Libre mask. Good night, everybody.
See you guys. Stay safe. Next week, we'll do it all over again.
See ya!
See ya! Peace.